Welcome to the National Geographic Reach podcast series. I am Barbara Quincer-Coulter, Director of Research and Professional Development at National Geographic School Publishing. Our guest today is Lotta Kroetke, a bilingual educator with over 30 years' experience and a featured speaker at national education conferences presenting strategies and techniques for effective literacy instruction in both English and Spanish. Lotta has also authored several Spanish reading programs for National Geographic School Publishing, including Alfaremus, an English phonics program, Phonics and Friends, and an ESL series, Avenues. Lotta, thanks so much for joining us today. Our topic is learning to read and the challenges that our English language learners face in this area, and you have a lot of experience in that area. To help us get on the same page, can you elaborate on the best approach when working with English language learners who are learning to read, regardless of their age?
Oh, there are so many important skills that a beginning learner has to master. Language is one thing that an English language learner has to get into, and you must be filled with language like any other beginning reader. They normally say that in kindergarten, preschool, that's a time to fill the children with language. So it can even start at home, and it should start at home, where the children learn to listen to stories and chants and songs and rhymes. And hopefully through this experience, if the rhymes and the chants are memorable, they'll become enchanted with language. And that enchantment will translate into a desire to want to read, into a desire to read. A teacher has to inspire this desire and has to create in the student an interest in reading. That can be achieved by providing interesting bits of literature or so forth. But as the child becomes filled with language, he will slowly and surely develop a phonemic and phonological awareness. He will listen to chants such as Benji met a bear, the bear met Benji, the bear was bulgy, the bulge was Benji. And chants like that, that will make children delight in what they're saying, and that delight will shortly become an awareness of the sounds, the B, the repetitive B sound. And that's the little magical moment in which then a child will be able to start working with Ilkonen boxes, let's say. I love Ilkonen boxes, and carefully managed. I like to give a child, for example, a word that is composed of continuous sounds, something like sun, that has the ability for a child to say the word slowly as opposed to cat. You can't say cat slowly because the C escapes you, but sun you can say slowly. And as the child says sun, he will be able to distinguish the sequence of sounds in that word. So this is part of learning how to read. Another part, obviously, well, language. If you don't have language, you can't read because you won't understand what you're reading or what you're decoding. Another thing is, of course, letter knowledge. I love using ABC charts for each child to have their own little ABC chart handy at their desk or table so that every day those letters get recited. And slowly, as the child develops phonemic awareness, they will be able to also develop the ability to identify each sound, each corresponding sound, with its corresponding symbol. Also, a teacher should never forget that successful instruction has to be based on what the child knows. The child should not be tested to see what letters he knows. He should be observed to see what letters he does control. And a teacher should be able to work with those strengths to build on that. So a student observation is incredibly important in teaching how to read because you have to follow the child. What else? Oh, there's some high-frequency words. High-frequency words are incredibly important because, again, the child should be taught to build on what they know, to use what they know to get at new words.
Thanks, Lotta. You really painted a very linear picture, starting out with how students need to be filled with language, and many of our English learners you know, come at varying levels filled with English language. They obviously come with language from their native language, but you really painted a picture as to what they need in the areas of language, phonemic awareness, phonics, and high-frequency word instruction. A lot of teachers ask us, and they're very well aware of the assets that our English language learners bring to the classroom, the awareness of sounds in their native language. Some are literate in their first language, but they're obviously, you know, speaking and bringing those assets. What should teachers really be aware of when they're teaching English phonics and tapping into the assets that English language learners bring from their native language?
Well, as you're teaching the ABCs, the ABC chart, there are letters, I'm speaking now about Spanish speakers. There are so many letters that do transfer, but there are some obvious ones that do not, like the J and the even Z, B's and V's, and the trickiest one of all are all the vowels. Maybe A, as a short A, can transfer easily from the Spanish, but the E's and the I's and the U's are incredibly, incredibly tricky for English language learners. And so what I would suggest to help with that is to learn one particular word and use that key word to access other words. For example, the U in Spanish is U, and in English it's A, like an up. I find that very tricky. So if the children learn, for example, the word up, which maybe a Spanish speaker would be more likely to use the letter A, A-P, but to teach them how to use up, how to write up, U-P, then use that knowledge to get at other words, like unless, and all sorts of other words that have the U. Also, high-frequency words come into play right here, which is, for example, if the kids have learned rhyming and they have an awareness of rhyming and they know the word my is one of the early high-frequency words. So if you know my, use magnetic letters to get the kids to change my to buy, then to try and cry, and even why. So knowing one key word will really help them to get at new words. Another thing in this particular case is articulation. As we're talking about Ilkonen boxes, not only do students learn to recognize sequence of sounds, but they also learn articulation or proper pronunciation of words, which many English language learners need. For example, there's a letter V. The letter V in English is very clearly discrete and different from the letter B. However, in Spanish, frequently the B's and the V's have the same sound. For that reason, kids come to class and say vacation instead of vacation. So the very ability to use Ilkonen boxes to say the word van, whereas they might have been learning to say it at home as ban. So in class, to be able to say van is very, very useful. Let me see, another word. Another word that is usually very tricky, they have to learn colors. And the word yellow is very difficult for English language learners because somehow the parents at home try to help them to know the colors, which is logical, but usually they come in saying jello instead of yellow. And so jello could be yellow. So Ilkonen boxes are really, really important, and rhyming and chants are really, really useful for this articulation problem, because articulation is a key to proper writing. If you don't articulate properly, you're not going to write it with a corresponding sound.
Well, thanks, Lotta. And really, you know, if teachers are aware of these sounds that transfer or some of the issues where students might struggle, it really can help them maximize their instruction. And within REACH, we do have the language and phonics transfer issues chart as well. Do you see that as a useful tool that can help teachers that, you know, might not be fluent in, well, they might not be fluent in all the languages that are represented in their classrooms, but do you see this as a useful tool that could help teachers as they are teaching beginning readers?
I think that it's, number one, that it's terribly interesting. I think any teacher would love to have a list of all of those areas of difficulty. But obviously, working with the child, you will become aware of articulation problems. But the chart really outlines them and clarifies it, and even gives hints about how to help out in that particular problem.
And our English language learners do need explicit instruction, even if sounds do transfer into their language, as you've pointed out in all your great examples. As we wrap up this podcast, Lotta, what advice and/or questions do you want to leave with our listeners so that they can effectively address the needs of their English language learners who are learning to read?
I would love to say inspire the kids with a desire to read. Just the desire to read is incredibly powerful. And then provide them with the necessary tools to accomplish that task, observe them. I think exceedingly important is the fact that if kids can learn to correct themselves, to learn self-correction as opposed to a teacher giving the right answer, the correct answer, to say to the child, something tricked you over here. Could you try that again? And I would love for teachers to end up with that lesson, with that little message. Teach the child to correct himself.
Lotta, you really presented a lot of powerful strategies and areas where teachers need to be aware when they're working with their students who are learning to read. For those educators that are using Reach, they have Reach into Phonics. Talk about that wonderful product and those books that are there to support beginning readers.
Those books are amazing. In the past, as a teacher, I have been told, you use kindergarten through second grade to learn to read, and third grade on, Read to Learn. These books show us that we don't have to wait till third grade to read to learn. The first story is about families, and it's a social studies piece. And it has illustrations or photographs that make the child identify with whatever is going on. There is an early story about a mat. In the past, we've been reading one of the early readers, the mat, the cat sat on the mat, and the mat, and who sat on the mat, and so forth. This time, we're using mats as a cultural item. Mats are used in different places in the world in different ways. So the story continues to be about a mat, but it teaches children about different mats. There are, for example, stories about science, where children are very, very curious about science. And so these stories, they are practicing their phonic skills, and at the same time they're learning about where, let's say, a rubber ducky comes from, or about turtles and ducks and so forth. So these are unusually wonderful stories that will answer curious children's questions about different science and social studies items.
Thank you so much for your time today, Lotta. Our listeners are now prepared to really focus on our English language learners who are learning to read. Thanks for listening to our National Geographic Reach podcast series. For more information, check out the National Geographic Reach Professional Development website for additional tools and ongoing support to help you address the needs of the students in your classroom.